Lord, we open to you.
Amen.
From the depths of our being,
Amen.
We open to you.
Amen.
Lord, we'd like to be entirely open.
Amen.
Lord, as an open vessel.
Amen.
Lord, with nothing between.
Amen.
Nothing between at all between you and us.
Amen.
Lord, we'd like to have a clear sky.
Amen.
We'd like to have an open heaven.
Amen.
We'd like to have everything transparent.
Amen.
We'd like to have no darkness at all.
Amen.
We pray this morning, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we just, you will visit us.
Amen.
Even we're here to invite you.
Amen.
To come and be with us.
Amen.
Lord, come to us as the light.
Amen.
Lord, come to us as the shining.
Amen.
Lord, come into us to illuminate.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray.
Amen.
For your cleansing blood.
Amen.
Oh, you say, if we're in the light,
Amen.
Your blood will cleanse us.
Amen.
We're here to firstly confess our sins,
Amen.
Confess our unrighteousness.
Amen.
We look to you for your fresh cleansing,
Amen.
Your new forgiveness.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, your mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
So is your forgiveness.
Amen.
We need the forgiveness of our sins.
Amen.
Lord, we pray. There would really be nothing between.
Amen.
This flow of fellowship,
Amen.
From the throne to our spirit,
Amen.
Lord, will cross through without any kind of frustration,
Amen.
Without any kind of stoppage,
Amen.
Without any kind of obstacle.
Amen.
Pray that you have freedom.
Amen.
You have full release,
Amen.
Even in our meetings today.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for these gatherings.
Amen.
Thank you for these little trainings.
Amen.
Thank you for this perfecting time you have afforded to us.
Amen.
Lord, we need you.
Amen.
We need your hand to be with us.
Amen.
We need your adjusting.
Amen.
We need your calibrating.
Amen.
Lord, we need your correcting.
Amen.
Lord, all the time.
Amen.
Start with us, Lord,
Amen.
That you may have a way in your church.
Amen.
You may have a way in your saints.
Amen.
Start with us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray
Amen.
Again for Northern California,
Amen.
For the churches in this whole area,
Amen.
For all the saints in this place.
Amen.
Lord, you are moving on.
Amen.
We still like to know what you are doing,
Amen.
How you are going.
Amen.
Lord, you're our guide.
Amen.
You're our map.
Amen.
You're our instant leading.
Amen.
We still look to you, Lord.
Amen.
What do you want us to do?
Amen.
How do you want us to follow you?
Amen.
Lord, give us the commandment.
Amen.
Give us the fresh order.
Amen.
Give us the new instruction for today.
Amen.
We just look to you, Lord.
Amen.
We just look to you, Lord.
Amen.
We really need you at every turn.
Amen.
We need your grace for every hour.
Amen.
We need you even for this morning.
Amen.
For both the speaking and for the listening.
Amen.
We thank you again for all these dear brothers in this room.
Amen.
Lord, even though the number have dropped a little bit,
Amen.
There's still so many
Amen.
Who are seeking you,
Amen.
Wanting to learn,
Amen.
Wanting to improve,
Amen.
Wanting to serve your house and your people,
Amen.
Lord, in a better way,
Amen.
In a way according to God.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this grace.
Amen.
So come, Lord.
Amen.
Grace us even more.
Amen.
We just look to you.
Amen.
Be with us in all these three sessions.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, brothers, I could not come last time, a month ago, due to some family situation. And I'm very happy to emerge here again to continue this line of training or fellowship with you. Now, I understand that the last time some brothers in my place cover lessons, 13 through 15. And so today we will have 16 through 18. That will be the halfway point. That will bring us to the halfway point of this 1 year of 36 lessons. Because I didn't have the time to get into the last three lessons, today I just looked at it from Brother David Choi's notebook. But, of course, once I read it, everything came back. It was on, number one, the person of the elder. And number two, on the heart. Am I right? The heart of an elder. And finally, on the first lesson on the character of an elder. Well, if you ask me, I would like to say that these lessons, including today's lessons, we're really coming into the heart. I wouldn't say the heart of the eldership, but I would say the heart, the core matters related to the elder himself or an elder himself. If we do not see these things, or if we are not moved or touched, I would say convicted by these things, then it's, I would say it's impossible. It's impossible for us to serve and function as a proper leading one. In the Lord's recovery, starting with Brother Watchman Nee, we always have this slogan, you know, this very popular slogan. And that is, in the matter of life, right, which is the realm that we're all in, it is not what we do. It is what we are. This is not to say what we do is unimportant. Eventually, we have to do things. We have to carry out certain kind of work and service. But that is not the first thing. The driver is not our ability, our capacity, our gift, our tact, you know, our how we know the methodologies in doing the Lord's work and in the care of his church. They are important, but they are not the first. The primary thing, my brothers, is the person. It's what we are. So I hope, even though these lessons do not bear much truth, you know, biblical truth, scriptural truth in them, they don't. But I would like to say these are pivotal, absolutely pivotal, in how we can be that proper leading brother or elder in the church of God. Now, I like to still remind you all why we're having these trainings. I would say the purpose of these trainings have the short-term side or the short-term objectives and also a long-term purpose. In a short-term sense, we hope that this kind of training or this year will be a way to bring the churches in the Northern California area together. By virtue of the brothers coming together, that means the churches are coming together. So this would become a kind of a, I wouldn't say rallying point, but this would be a place where the Lord may say something or speak something and do something as far as a kind of a direction for us. And not only so, the heavy burden, I would say, in our hearts, in a more specific way, and I'm talking about short term here, is that a kind of renewing, all right? We have been using this word since last September. A kind of genuine renewing, a kind of adjustment, a kind of change could be effected in the churches here right away. I think it was, what, a week ago or two that we were in Fremont, was it 2 weeks ago, where a number of the brothers, I heard that in the largest meeting there were 70 or 80 brothers that came together for that prayer retreat. I think you call it the prayer retreat, a kind of a tradition, a very fine tradition at that, of twice a year coming together to pray and to seek the Lord for his move in this area. I was privileged to be there for a day or so, 24 hours or so. And I think there we spend much time, many hours, to talk about this. And that is that many churches here, having been here for quite a long time, I'm talking about decades, am I right? And with everything, not just the church life, with anything, after some period of time, things would become somewhat old, somewhat stale, and somewhat decrepit. That's just the nature of things. And so there is a strong burden within that in order that the Lord may have a fresh going on, a new move here, he must have a new vessel. Do you remember the Lord's words or the Lord's parables in the Gospels, of course, about the new wine and the new wineskin? Do you remember that? For the new wine, there's always the need for the new wineskin. Otherwise, it will burst, right? The old wineskin simply cannot contain the new wine. Well, the new wine is, of course, the life of Christ, the divine life, which is stirring, which is exciting, which is cheering, right? That's the nature of wine. And this new wine comes to us as the Spirit, as the Spirit. And this new wine is simply the triune God himself, as life and as the Spirit coming to do all this work. And for this new wine to be here, to be useful, there has to be a container. Has to be a container. And that's the wineskin. And so this wine is always new, right? You know, you open some wine, and then you leave it there for a year. And you come and look at it again or smell it, it just, you know, you have these sediments and you know what I mean. It's almost undrinkable. Now, we're not talking about 1 year in the Bay Area. We're talking about 55 years in the Bay Area. Now, think about a wine that you have opened for 55 years. I don't think I would drink it. Will you? You may get poisoned. If you do, there needs to be the fresh wine, the new spirit, a new Christ, a new move of this life among us. We should welcome that. We should pray for that. And brothers, we should anticipate that very, very much. Don't you? I don't know about you. I was just commenting, to Brother Birch Parker. We were together these last couple of days, and we're sort of the same age group as for some of you, right? I'm talking about in the 60s, 70s, kind of a time frame. And I have my daughters there and my their husbands, my sons-in-laws, and now they have their kids, my grandchildren. And I know that, they say the way to stay young is to think young, right? You just have to keep thinking young. And I also know all these things to kind of keep yourself young, mainly your health, right? So you have to keep yourself psychologically youthful, and as much as you're possible, your aging body moving, right? The moment you stop moving, what did they say? Some physical loss, a body that is at rest will tend to be stay at rest permanently, right? You know what I mean by that. And a body that is in motion tends to stay in motion. So the idea for old people is to keep moving, because the moment you stop, that's it. All right. I know that too. All these things. So psychologically, physically, you have to do certain things to stay young. But when I'm with these younger people, the next two generations, no matter how I'm thinking young, no matter how, I still do my push-ups. Every day I do 80 push-ups. You may say, whoa. Well, you know why I do 80? I'll tell you why. You know Brother Francis Ball? Y'all know Francis Ball. He passed away some time ago. Dear brother. And he was in the Navy and so on and so forth. And he would boast many of times to me and maybe to others how at an old age, in his 70s and maybe even 80, by the time he passed away, he was over 80. He was still doing his push-ups daily. And he said, every day I do 70 push-ups at an old, advanced age. That inspired me. So I say, Francis, I'm going to beat you. You do 70, I'm going to do 80. So I started to build this up, and now I can do 80 push-ups a day. Now, no matter how many push-ups I do, that's my point, when I'm with these younger ones, I just say, I just can't catch up with them. And for me to be in denial of that is stupid. Am I right? It's ridiculous to say, I am not 65. I am really, really 56 or younger because I think young, because I do 80 push-ups. I'm kidding myself. I am 65. Am I right? Do you understand what I'm saying? time is just an age, takes its toll. Brothers, for the Lord to have a new move, and I will tell you, I'm maybe too ambitious of a person. I would say these days, we need a new church life. Not just to fix a little, I got creaky here, and so I kind of put some, spray things? Huh? WD-40, right. You know, I just spray a little bit and just kind of smooth it out. Goodness, I mean, I don't care. I mean, there comes a point, I don't care what you spray on me. It is what it is. And what did Brother Lee say in Taipei? He say, an old man walks the old way. And only a new man will walk the new way. Talking about the person, brothers, no matter what, the older people will just walk the older way. Let's just face it, all right? Then you say, we want to walk the new way. Very, very good. Praise the Lord for your heart. But you are just old. No matter what, brothers, we need new blood. We need the new saints. We need the new brothers. We have become old. Even our church life is an old church life. I'm sorry to say this. And I say this to myself. I hate this. I don't like this. But what can I do? I am just old. I am just old. I mean, if it's 50 years ago, brothers, I tell you, I'm young. And my church life is youthful. I don't need to try. I don't need to try. But now, no matter how I try, I'm still old. There is a need for the new ones to walk the new way. The new brothers to have the new church life. And this is why, by the way, let me tell you, the churches need increase. Because if the church doesn't have new ones, that church will automatically become an old church. And without knowing it, brothers, today we may be perpetuating an old church life. A church life that works. A church life that is good. But not sinful, not worldly. I don't mean any of those bad things. Spiritual. For the ministry. How about this? All of this, but old. And there's nothing you can do about it. I am, you know, we have this memorial conference on a new revival. Well, who is going to bring in this new revival? Did I share this here? I shared this 2 weeks ago. In my study of revivals in church history, it's never brought in by old folks. Not one. In fact, they're not even brought in by middle-aged people. Most of them are brought in by young people. In their teens, in their 20s, they brought in this what? A kind of a new situation. Up to a certain point, the Lord just could not have a way with the older ones. Now, I know when I say these things, it doesn't sound good to the older brothers, or even to me. You know, this means what? You mean I'm I'm over? You know, I'm done with. I should retire. I should get out of the way. Well, this morning I say maybe. I wouldn't say no. I say maybe. But one thing is for sure. One thing is for sure. You must not look to yourself. You must look to the younger ones for the future of the Lord, for the future of the church life. You must look at that. And as long as you are still, you and I are still moving, they call it ambulatory, you know what I mean? Mobile, all right? We should exert every fiber of our being to what? To raise up the younger brothers, the younger saints, not just brothers, the saints. The future of the Lord's recovery is in their hands. It is, it is. And so I'm working like a person sort of with a clock ticking and with a sense of urgency, with a timetable. Because if we don't do this, and you just kick the can down the road. You understand that expression? You kick the can down the road. You refuse to make that decision. And meanwhile, you're getting older and older and older. And I'm still seeing situations, not just in the Bay Area, but elsewhere, of a kind of what? What is that word for old people?
Geriatric.
There must be a verb to that. You go look at the dictionary, okay? There must be a word for aging. That's the word for the study of the aged. Gerontology. So there must be a verb there. Gerant something, okay? You cannot stop that process. You cannot stop that process. Brothers, so I'm doing a little bit of a recap, this being the halfway point of this year's training. Why we are here? Why we are here? We're here with a real burden that in the churches, the older churches in the Bay Area, and there are many of them, there would be a renewal in the leadership, in the brothers that bear the responsibility. There must be the young brothers who will rise up, to bear the burden right now, okay? So we talked about that. And by the way, I remember our fellowship. We agreed on this, didn't we, brothers? That by the end of August, am I right? By the end of August, all the churches, there's nothing mandatory, we cannot enforce anything like this, but we ask, I beg the brothers, the current older leading brothers, to go back in your church to consider that's the situation of your church from this point of view, in a most serious way. Brothers, in a most serious way, this is not a play, this is not a game. None of us are here to play games. This has nothing to do with you. This has to do with the Lord's recovery. This has to do with the churches of the Lord. This has to do with the coming 20 years. Brothers, this is how serious it is. Lay this matter before the Lord, I challenge the brothers. Pray over it. Have much fellowship over it concerning the leadership of the church. And by the end of August, to come back with a written plan, I would say, with a written schedule, with a written proposal in your church, how that should be. And various churches, in my kind of a little bit of a encouragement, have done that. They're still doing that in Canada and elsewhere. I said, brothers, let me take a look. I don't know your people. I don't know the brothers. You know. Am I right? You have fellowship. You pray. You consider. And show me the plan. And let us consider this matter together. And they did. They did. It became clear to them that if we don't have such a thing, nothing will happen. It's always kicking the can down the road. Next year, I'll see you again. Next year, I'll see you again. Nothing. Next year, I'll see you again. That's how it is. It is grossly unfair to the Lord and to the church. So this kind of thing, we don't talk about, right? We don't like to talk about this kind of thing, right? We talk about pleasant things. But my brothers, I must say this again because it is so much in my heart. We need to have this view, all right? So I hope really by the end of this year, many of the churches here will have a new situation. Now, the older brothers, who are brothers who have been in the leadership, elder in the eldership, this is far from a case of retirement, far from a case of having becoming jobless or useless. Far from that. Far, far from that. I tell you, this is the word that we would use is a kind of repurposing. You know, nowadays that is a cool word, you know. Everything needs to be repurposed, right? An old piece of wood, you repurpose, it becomes, you know, a very expensive piece of old wood, you know. You know what I mean. Repurposing. Well, we're really talking about a divine repurposing of many older brothers. To turn over, as it were, the administration, the practical care of the church to these younger brothers. And these older brothers would be repurposed to free up themselves and their time to do a much more important work. I say that not to make the older brothers feel good. I mean it. A much more important work. What is that work, you may say? Okay, I'm going to tell you several things. Number one, the work, I'm talking about the older brothers. Number one, the work of what? The work of ministering to and mentoring the younger brothers. This is a great job. This is a great job. The younger brothers coming up will benefit tremendously from the wisdom and experience of the older brothers. And I believe today many of the younger brothers among us are good, proper, submissive. I believe so. I really believe so. Some of you have not been through the full-time training. Others of you have been through the full-time training. And here, let me give a little pitch for FTTA, all right? The FTTA worked, and will keep on working. 2 years to get a young brother or sister into that training. 2 years. That 2 years, what did Brother Lee say? 1 year in the training equals 10 years in a regular church life. Now, of course, they don't have that kind of church life in that 1 year. The full-time training is a little bit of a bubble, you know, a special facility and situation. Granted that. But in that 1 year or 2 years, they have gotten a lot, so much that they don't realize how much they got until later on. It's a time release capsule, you know. Really so. Really so. And, talk about, Birch told me that just last month or when, they went to Lyman, Wyoming. You know Lyman, Wyoming? This town that has only one street, you know what I mean? I don't know what is the population. I've been there, by the way. How many of you have been to Wyoming? Not many hands. How many of you have been to Lyman, Wyoming? Well, a few. Okay. I was there. That's where I ate my first buffalo meat for breakfast, all right? Buffalo and eggs, okay. All right. They have a little blending time of many churches and many saints. 80 saints came together in Lyman, Wyoming. And they use a day or two, whatever, to digest the conference in Taipei. You know that one on the Lord's recovery, the central major points. You know that wonderful conference. They digested it with no speakers. just themselves in groups, and then they speak. And then they assign two young brothers. I won't name you the names. Both of them I know very well from the training and also from the church in Irvine. Know them very well. Younger brothers, they really are not that young anymore, by the way. You know, even today, oh, this is a young brother. How young? 45. What? Of course, to me, 65, 45 is a young man. You know, this young man. 45 is a young brother? Are you kidding me? 25 is better. But anyway, these two brothers, I think, are getting up there. You know, they are 30s, you know, going into 40, something like that. Perfect age. And they, am I right, Birch? They were given the job to conclude, to give the conclusion for that time. And I was not there. They reported to me that it was so excellent. The conclusion was so excellent. Brought them to tears. Brothers, this is a proof that the training works. These two have been through the training. You may say, in a sense, under me. Been through the training. Brothers, we need to send our young people to the training. Do your best. Talk about a new start in the Bay Area. Brothers, one of your job is the next generation. Make sure your children, the young people, are what? Are inspired at a young age to go to the full-time training. Yes, we have some rotten apples. We have some, you know, some that didn't turn out so well. Come on. There's no perfect score, is there? Huh? There's not such a thing. But by and large, I will tell you, I don't know where the Lord's recovery will be without the FTTA. That I can say. That absolutely I can say. I would say even the Lord's recovery had no future. I can even say that. I'm not here to glorify the FTTA. I'm not here to do that. But you check, even in your church, there may be one or two or few who have been through the training. Makes a difference. Makes a big difference. Well, brothers, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the younger ones, right? Some have been through the training, some have not been through the training. In any event, they, even with that 2 years of wonderful training, still need a lot of mentoring and real life kind of, you know, guidance. And they're hungry for it. They want it. And it is the older ones who can render that to them. What a glorious job that is. For me, let me tell you, the most honorable profession is, if you call it a profession, number one is a parent. Parent. Number two is a teacher. These are people who are ensuring the continuation of civilization. Am I right? So, number two, the older brothers, what can they do? What else can they do? They can use all their time, listen to me, much of their time, to pray. You may say, pray? Oh, come on. Let me tell you, the highest ministry is the ministry of prayer. Today, we are lacking in the church life of brothers and sisters who are given to prayer. I like to see, actually, older brothers and sisters in the church life. They retire empty nest. They really are retired, even, you know, from their job and so forth. They will dedicate a morning, an hour and a half or two just a few of them coming together to pray. And because they have been leading brothers, they know how to read the situation. They know how to pray. They pray in a more spot-on way. You see, brothers and even sisters, how good it is that in every church you have a group of brothers who are praying like this. Makes a big difference. Big, big difference. They couldn't do that much, but they do the most important work, and that is the work of prayer. Number three, they can use their time to visit and shepherd. This is, according to Brother Lee, the most important work in a local church. The weak, the backslidden, even the good, you know, needs much shepherding and visitation. They can do this. I must here, you forgive me, to bring up the name, and that is the name that Brother Lee brought up often, and that is Brother Eugene Gruler Senior. He passed away, in the 60s? Or was it 70s. Eugene Gruler Senior. He was even called the angel of the church in Los Angeles. He was the one from New York City who came to L.A. when the brothers were struggling as to whether to start the church life in L.A. 1962. He came, and the brothers asked him, because he's a little bit more senior and more experienced from New York City, and he said, "Why do you wait? The Lord is doing this already, and why do you wait?" And that's when they started. So he was considered the angel that came. Has much to do with the start of the church in Los Angeles, May 1962. That was before Brother Lee came. Brother Lee at that time, at that moment, was in Seattle. Then he found out that started. You know, Brother Lee did not start the church in L.A. He was in fellowship with them, but the actual start was by this local saints. You know, they were in Westmoreland Chapel. And they came out of that, you know, that's the context or the background. And then they came out, and then this is several years in the making. And eventually they became clear they must take the ground of the church that body in, or that assembly in Westmoreland Chapel is really not on the ground of the church, you know. So they did that. This brother, Eugene Gruler, senior brother, he, by that time, must be in his 60s or 70s. I don't know. Older brother with heavy, heavy German accent. I still remember to this day, heavy German accent. He must have been the first generation to come to this country. And he is absolutely not a speaker, meaning, you know, stand up and give a message type. Absolutely not. And I never seen him sitting in the front row in L.A., always back there somewhere, just there, with his wife. What's his wife's name? Caroline. Caroline Gruler. Sister Gruler, we call them. You know what he does? Listen to me. You listen to me, brothers. Number is exactly what I'm telling you right now. Number one, he prayed. You know what Brother Lee said one time? Brother Lee, Witness Lee. And this is early on. You know, they live, both of them, on Westmoreland Street. There's a Westmoreland Chapel. It's on that street. They live there, which is one street from Eldon. Okay? One street from Eldon. And they live right across the street. Brother Gruler lived here, which is back to Eldon Hall, and Brother Lee and Sister Lee live on this side in apartments. Brother Lee would testify to us. He said, nobody knows. I think at the funeral or at the memorial. What did he say, Birch? Noni reminded me. Huh? Brother Grueler is shoulder and shoulder with me. Me, Witness Lee. I heard that he said that he is my real co-worker. You remember that? I at least two times I heard that with my own ears. I would never think that he was this man, can be Brother Lee's co-worker. He never traveled. He's just there. He doesn't speak in the meetings. What kind of co-worker is this? But Brother Lee say, why? You know why? He said, this brother prays for me. Whenever I'm traveling, and in those days, Brother Lee, half a year was traveling. The other half, building up a model church life in Los Angeles. All right? He said, this brother prayed for me. Pray for the Lord's work. He is my co-worker. I cannot forget that. Now, this is on the side of prayer. How would Brother Lee know? I don't know. He knew. And this brother prayed. The second thing, this brother, what he does is he shepherds, especially the younger saints, outside of the meeting. Outside of the meeting. Yours truly standing here is one of the beneficiary of his shepherding. He would arrange on Sunday after the morning meeting for a bunch of young brothers or sisters, whatever, to go to his house. And Sister Carolyn would cook a wonderful kind of, she's British, you know, and this German, this kind of mixed British-German dish, right? A fantastic meal. I mean, in those days, single brothers, you just, you know, it's you don't eat so well. So you're invited to their place with, you know, the British, the setting, the silverware. I mean, you know what I mean. You're getting a treat. So you go there. And I still do not forget to this day. This is my personal testimony. Going to their house, eating. And then after lunch, we would all retire to the living room. And he would take his chair, sort of a big sofa or something. And I don't know about the other saints who have been there. They have their stories to tell. But this is my story. So I was, by that time, almost the whole apartment was vacated. And he asked me, you sit there, right across from him, like this. I'm just sitting there. And I don't know this brother that well. He's many, many decades my senior. And I don't know what he wants. And he said other things, probably, get to know me. And at the end, he told me the story of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, yeah? Who was a shoe salesman at one time, you know, became one of the greatest evangelists in this country. He actually went to England. And in England, he got into the Keswick Convention. He attended the Keswick Convention meetings. And you know, Keswick Convention is famous for their consecration. Today, you can find a lot of hymns by the people from that era. So he told me the story of D.L. Moody, and there are many accounts to that. That's not the important thing. It's the point here. He said, someone from Keswick Convention, and D.L. Moody actually talked about this in his account. on the way to a meeting, in a carriage, or something like that, one of the brothers there, knowing D.L. Moody's, you know, was being called by the Lord, was being prepared by the Lord, or whatever, he said this. He said, "Brother, God today is still waiting for one man that is totally consecrated to him." That word lodged in D.L. Moody and turned D.L. Moody. And from that point on, D.L. Moody consecrated his whole life, gave up everything, and the rest is history. Brother Grueler sat there. You remember him? He has this bushy, big, thick, bushy eyebrows. It's all white. Pretty scary, you know, with his big, thick German accent. Accent, sometimes a little hard to discern. Just, I mean, like burning holes in my, with his eyes, you know, just look, staring straight at me. He said, "Brother, God today is still waiting for one man who is fully consecrated to him." That's all. He might have said other things, probably he did. I don't remember. I remember the scene very, very vividly. It was winter sun, fall sun, you know, 3 o'clock, you know, just shining through the windows. And here I was. How old, what was I? 19. 20 at the most. And sitting, you know, across from him. And that's what he said to me. It was not some brother speaking to D.L. Moody. It was, you know, Grueler, Brother Grueler, speaking to this young man. Let me tell you, those words never left me. To this day. Now, that was only one encounter, just one encounter. But that one encounter, well, I don't know about changing my life in that sense, but surely that one encounter sealed something within me that the Spirit has been doing in me. Brothers, I like to tell you that you just don't know. If you have the burden to do this kind of shepherding cannot be replaced by big meetings. Now, big meetings cannot be replaced by these fellowships either. We need both. But I'm saying that a lot of intimate and direct and solid and lasting work is not but done in the big meeting teaching. It is done by this one-on-one care, with that kind of burden and attention. And this kind of fellowship changed lives. And you do not know who that young man or woman will become. I will tell you how he died. This brother, same Brother Grueler, some years later. He died on that chair, probably, shepherding a sister. And I know who that sister is. While he was shepherding that sister, he collapsed and he died. And I tell people here and there, I like to die that way. I don't want to be writing checks and then I died. I'm the elder. This is my final check. Ooh, and I die. Would you like to die that way? I like to die shepherding someone. You see what? No, this is real. I'm telling you the actual story. Brothers, this is what we need in many churches today. All right? And there's one more thing I'd like to say concerning the older brothers. And that is, you know what? They can travel. They can travel. They can not only take care of a church, they can travel and shepherd the brothers and the saints in other churches. They can migrate and become so useful in a different place. And this has happened to some of the brothers sitting here today. And I'm so happy about that. Brothers, look, eldership, the matter of being an elder is not a matter of position. Please. It is not some this kind of, oh, I'm an elder, I made it, I'm going to stay here. Like this is something so that you have to have in order to be useful. You are wrong. You're wrong. Brother Lee, how many times told us, both in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, those are sister chapters, on the gifts and functions in the local church and in the body of Christ, the matter of leadership is not number one. It's not number one. It is, in fact, back there somewhere. Back there somewhere. But we, because of our natural concept, it is become a positional matter. No, it is a gift, it is a function that we don't need to hold on to. Right? These kind of work that I'm talking about will grace the churches very, very much by the older brothers. Okay? So, I hope, really, by the end of this year, the churches all have a renewal. I do not mean, in saying that all the older brothers should just all just disappear and then we install a whole new group. I don't mean that. Every church situation is different. That's why we need to study. In some cases, yes, the older brothers need not be there. In some other cases, there's a transitional period. In other cases, certain older ones are needed there still to function in a certain way because of that particular local situation. So I'm not making any kind of a blanket kind of a suggestion here. But I'm talking about here the principle. I hope so. I hope this word is received by you. To me, this is the short term. Now the long term. The long term for this kind of a training here is to give all of us, and particularly the up and coming or the current younger brothers who are entering into the eldership, the real service of the eldership. The burden for this kind of a training is that you would get some official training, if I may. Kind of like FTTA, an official training in the form of these lessons. So that when you serve, at least you have the basics. All right? You don't just serve like, what is an elder? What? I hope these lessons have given you some perfecting. Yes or no? Read the preface of the book called The Elders' Management of the Church, which is very much used as a reference for these lessons. That preface was given by an old brother in Taiwan back in the 50s. And I never can forget one thing he said in that preface. He said, after I've been through these trainings, the elders' management of the church is a training, by the way. He said, after those training, I then realized I have been years and years serving as an ignorant or stupid elder. The Chinese, 糊涂长老, 糊涂 means you don't know what you're doing. He said, after I've been through this training, I realize I have been serving as such. We don't want brothers to serve as a dumb, ignorant, leading brother. The training is very important. And this is why, this time with this material, with this reading, we ask you to go back and study, to go back and get into the things. You may say, oh, come on, this is not truth, this is not this or that. But if you have a heart and you study these things, you pursue these things, it will make a big difference. And listen to me, in the longer term, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, all these things will what? Will time release. You know what I mean? Will time release and become very, very helpful to you. To this day, I tell you, even though practically I don't function as an elder, to this day, the things in these books and these writings and all these things is in me, regulating me, disciplining me. When I want to do something, oh, I remember, you're not supposed to do that. You know what I mean? And elders, you know, talk about the person, the heart, you know, that is a big one. I'm reminded, always checked, always reminded. And that keeps me on a kind of a straight way in my service. And it also helps me to help others to come into this. Brothers, I think I mentioned this before, that in the Lord's recovery, we have a particular way of doing things. That's just the way it is. It's different from the denomination, different from out there. And you have to learn this way. You have to learn this way. There are certain principles. There are certain, for example, just this slogan, we care not as much for your ability as your person, right? This is a guiding principle. This is the way we are. This is not the way in most places. It's in most places, it's your ability. It's your gift. Here, we don't care first about that. We care about your person. Okay, what time is it? I've been going off. We have to stop at what time? Now? Theoretically 10:30. All right, so I still have half an hour. Okay. I feel I need to say this. This is halfway point. Brothers, are you with me?
Yeah.
I know, you know, the number have dropped a little. Maybe now we have 200 instead of 3. Something like this. I'm not discouraged. I'm not discouraged. Just to see the brothers here who are still coming, I am very encouraged. Very, very encouraged. You have the heart. Right? I believe some who could not come are due to certain reasons, at least some of them, right? But the heart is here. This is the important thing. And I believe some effect of this training is there for the long run. I believe so. Now, I will not go back to the last... I just only want to say the last few lessons are very, very important. The heart and the person. the heart and the person. Young brothers, pay attention to this. You need to use what the Lord has given to you to serve. That is your capacity. That is these things, your ability, your gift. You need to use them. And you need to use them faithfully, what the Lord has given to you. Absolutely. But, pay attention that the important thing is, what is the person of that elder? The person determines everything. I have no time. I just want to stress this point. Who you are, what you are. It's not what you say. It's not what you do first. It's what you are. Are you a person that carries that kind of weight? Are you that kind of person that is right? You tell people to read the Bible and you don't read the Bible. You know, you're not that kind of person. You just put on a front. You put on a show. You actually are not that way. Then no matter what tack you have on you, you're not a proper leading brother. You don't have a heart for people. You're not that kind of person. You have to force yourself to look like you care for people. It's not from within. You're not that kind of a person. Pay attention to this, brothers. Pay attention to this. Again, I don't have the time. Then, the heart. The heart. The heart is everything. Yes, we must have a strong, living, aggressive spirit, burning even, to serve the Lord. Absolutely. But for an elder, the heart is most important. And here we talk about a few things, I think. Number one, what? A large heart. A large heart. I tell you, a large heart is a wise heart. The bigness of the heart, much like Solomon, right? Which is like the ocean. Not small. You know, a small person cannot administrate, cannot take care of things. I don't mean not to be fine. You need to have a fine and thorough character. In fact, on character, the first two things is thoroughness and diligence. Correct? The last lesson. You need to be fine, very fine. If you study the Bible, you need to be fine. And a lot of us, our problem is we're too rough. But we'll get there. Here we're talking about the heart. The heart must be huge. Must be large. You know why we control? Control. You know why we control? Or have a tendency to control? Because our heart is small. Too small. The elders that if they don't approve it, you know, this is worse than signing checks. If they don't approve it, then that little sister in the nursery room cannot buy that toy. It must be subject to his approval. It's a little toy, you know what I mean? But you cannot buy it without the elder's approval. What is this? You may say, wow, this is very good protocol, you know. Accountability, you know. But I tell you to the saints, every little thing they have to check with you. You're the King. You're the Lord. And I've seen this. I tell you, a church like this will never grow. Never. Brother Lee said in the God-ordained way, elders, get your hands off. Give the saints the freedom. But you know, amongst us, many saints don't know how to exercise anymore. They have lost their initiative and aggressiveness because they've been trained to check in everything. Now, mind you, I am not here to promote anarchy, rebellion, you know, or non-fellowship. You know that's not where I come from. You know that's not where I come from. But I mean a certain kind of culture that is engendered by a small leading brother or a small corporate collective eldership that have to know everything about everything and approve everything and disapprove everything. What is this? What is this? No wonder after a while the Lord cannot have a way in such a church. He has to go somewhere else. It's like, I would even say like this, like Jerusalem and River Jordan. He has to raise up a wild, what? John the Baptist. Disregard all the rules to do something new. I am not for a disorderly church. You know what I mean? I'm for order. In fact, we're going to have two lessons here today. Next two lessons, on the authority of the elders. So I'm not for disorder, but I tell you, too small. Too small. And then when someone offended them, an elder, they would not let them go. And I'm an elder. Aha, you offended me, you cross me, you're in for life. Unless you migrate. In fact, I won't let you migrate. Have I seen this? Yes. Brothers, what is this? What is this? Where is the largeness of heart? Where is the tolerance? A large heart is easy to forgive. I mean, among God's people, the Lord's children, we all are a work in progress, aren't we? We all are problem cases. Am I right? Everyone will make trouble and cause problem and this and that. And then you, being such a small person, would just jump on that case and just beat the thing down and in the name of, you know, keeping everything in order. It's actually you're a small person. Sometimes I go to a church, I feel so sorry for the saints. It's like they're under a kind of tyranny. Tyranny, I use the word. Let me ask you, who are you? Who give you the right to order people's lives? And I've seen elders, they go around controlling the saints' lives. Telling them what they should do, who they should marry, in the name of counseling. No, brothers, no, no. We should be like Moses, right? Moses, the person. We just know how to prostrate before the Lord. That doesn't mean we are irresponsible, that we let everything loose. I don't mean that. I come back to the heart. And not only a large heart, but a what? An upright heart. Am I right? Honest, upright. See, these are the things that we need to exercise. We have a hymn. In dealing with the Lord as life, we need a proper heart. You know that song? Go sing that song. It's been a long time, even amongst us, we do not have some special messages and fellowship just concerning the heart. Regeneration is a matter of our spirit, but the growth in life is a matter of the heart. Our heart's condition, brothers, here, we're not even just talking about a Christian's heart. We're talking about a leader's heart, an elder's heart. So right, so warm, so caring, so forgiving, so tolerant, so accommodating. Yet upright, you know, non-political. Brothers, this is a lesson. But to build up this kind of heart, you need a lifelong exercise. The Lord covers me. Again, I give a little my testimony. How, since the times in Eldon, I still remember, Eldon, you remember, in one of the, I don't know whether you were there, you were in Texas, but in one of these informal trainings, you know, spring informal trainings that Brother Lee give, that gave me the biggest foundation, most solid foundation for my church life. He spent a whole 1 year in that informal training in spring, just to talk about the heart. From what? From the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. If you want to study the heart, study the book of Matthew. And that caused me, since that time, to deal with my heart. And it's an ongoing thing. There's this brother who was in Germany who rebelled, I won't mention name, and created problems here. Okay? He was 6 years my senior. And in those days, he was very, very much in the things. And he actually gave me a lot of help in this matter of the dealing of the heart. He talked to me. I still remember this. Seminar. You have to deal with your heart so that it will be pure. You know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The purity of the heart is the most important thing. No ambition, no motive, nothing ulterior. You just seek God, and that's it. And His glory, and that's it. Nothing else. Nothing for self, nothing for anything. Deal with it. And I learned that. I picked that up. Sorry to say, some years later, 20 years later, his heart took him another way. This teach me a lesson, brothers, and that is these dealings are ceaseless. You don't rest on your laurels and say, I dealt with my heart. No, next year something will come. Brother Lee say your heart is like flypaper. You know flypaper? It attracts anything, anytime. Heavy dealing, strong dealing, desperate dealing with the Lord all the time. Brothers, you want to be an elder? You need to deal with your heart. This training, actually, if you drill down beneath the surface, is not an easy training. The points are easy. The point's easy. But the dealings, not so easy. That's the proof whether you got into the training or not. All right. Now, the character, this is my favorite subject. You know why? Because for years in the full-time training, that's what I teach. Not the character class. No, not the character class. But the matter of person and character, both in the FTTA and for years now in the, the middle age training. So people who come and enroll in my class, they never know the class doesn't have a name, because even I don't know what the name is. I just am burdened for their person, for their character, for their disposition, for their humanity. Okay, so this is my favorite subject. You don't know how many times I read those two books, Character by Witness Lee and The Character of the Lord's Worker by Watchman Nee. These two are our Bibles on character. They come and they go. I still have to read it because I'm still there teaching. Every year I read it again and again. And that book, little book called Character by Witness Lee, I translated it in Taiwan because of the training. You know, Brother Lee wants to train character, and that's his book. I translated it. I still remember. And today I still am not very happy with some of the translation. You know, there are 30 character traits. Chapter 1 is 30 character traits. One is called magnanimous. I chose that word. Even to this day, I'm not sure that is the right word. But anyway, it is what it is. Brothers, character is a huge topic. Huge topic. Again, I have no time. We have only 10 minutes left. 9 minutes left. Character. You want to serve as an elder, you must have an elder's character. All right? Now, thoroughness and stability, diligence. You read through this. And how can a leading brother not be diligent? A lazy elder. How can it be? What kind of church will they administrate? Just lazy. Lazy. Okay. All right, let's come to today, and I don't have the time. I have only 8 minutes now. I'll just go through it quickly and say something. You can get into it yourself. There are 3 points here today. All of them are, I would say, key things. Number one, being stable. Stability is most important for a leading brother. You don't get excited easily. You don't get stirred up easily. You don't get what? Believe the first thing you hear easily. You don't react easily. This does not mean you're emotionless. But so much in administration, in any kind of facet of society, and in the church especially, requires that what? That we be stable people. All right? I just read here. A, to be stable means you don't change easily. B, if elders do not possess this kind of stable character, they will cause trouble to the church and there's no way to go on. C, a stable character does not come mainly by birth. It comes through discipline. D, when a problem arises in the church that you need to deal with it, you should not panic or be hasty. Very important things. E, do not put your trust in others all at once. Put your trust in them a little at a time. F, when you're stable, you'll be led by the Lord to know how to help people. All accurate leadings, feelings, and burdens are obtained by those who are stable before God. I recommend to you a chapter called Being Stable in that book by Watchman Nee. The Character of the Lord's Worker on Being Stable. It is actually a chapter on Peter, the apostle. How he was transformed from an unstable person to a rock. You know, the word Peter means a rock, a stone. So in this, it means we need a lot of dealings with what? With our feelings, with our emotions, with our propensity to react and do things quickly. I like to tell brothers, don't do anything until you have thought through it 3 times. It's a Chinese proverb. Don't do something until you have processed it through your brain 3 times. You know, today we're in the instant world, right? the text is instant response and email, I tell you, a lot of mistakes are made because of the quickness. It's better that after you write a letter, you write an email to just wait for an hour. And then you go look at it and say, I was crazy. But in most cases, it's sent already. And that caused problems. And then it came back also in a quick way, causing more problems. A lot of problems today is because of what? Of hastiness, people in panic mode, doing things too fast. And stability also means what? Not changing, flip-flopping all the time. Like the weather in San Francisco, right? Don't be too quick. Don't make hasty decisions. Now, the second thing is also most important. It is all on what? Caring for others. And I recommend to you that chapter in the character of the Lord's worker. The first chapter, called A Lover of Man. A lover of man. Not of saints or believers, but of man. All right? A person who has no concern for others cannot serve the Lord, much less be an elder. If an elder is afraid of being bothered, it's best for him not to be an elder. B, the secret to having others come to you is to have concern for them. C, please remember, this should not be something that we do out of our natural disposition. The desire to be involved in others' business and to inquire about others' affairs is of the flesh. And D, the right way for us to learn the lesson before the Lord and to accept a burden to be a shepherd among his children, one who cares for the souls of men. It is because you love them and are concerned for them that you have such a burden upon you. If an elder can do this, the church will be surely be blessed. Today, the greatest lack in every local church is this kind of elders. Brothers, I don't know what else to say. Many of us need a heart transplant. Well, it actually happened when we were saved, according to Ezekiel. A certain stony heart of the flesh is removed. A certain heart of the flesh has replaced that. And really speaking, we do have such a heart from the Lord. But sorry, the old heart, natural heart, is still there. Is still there. We need a heart, brothers, just to love the saints, just to love the church, just to love the members of the Lord's body. And that love has to be what? Worked out in the way of intimate concern. In the way of what? In the way of real tenderness and care. Again, I've seen elders, they just commander-in-chief, CEO. They can do many things in a very, very good way in arranging things. But the heart, the real concern is really not there. It's easy for you to give a test, give an announcement, write an email, easy to do. But how about that particular sister, that particular brother, that member of the body? Are you really caring for them? I tell you, no one, that's why we need many elders. Not one elder can cover the whole church. Impossible. You can only cover so many, and you need others to do the same. Just one expression of care, just one visit out of genuine concern will turn a saint forever. Forever. Many saints, they really don't have that many problems. They just need some attention. Some care, and it will go a long, long way. And of course, we should not and never do these things in a political way. To gain favor, to get votes, forget about that. We love with a sacrificial love, the same love that the Lord has, laying down his soul life for us. Brothers, read that chapter. And number three, be accommodating. Elders should be accommodating others, and being accommodating is like the glue. You can fit any situation, any person, an all-fitting life. We should not do this artificially. Unless, one can accommodate himself to those who are younger or lowlier, he will find it difficult to lead them. Please, brothers, change the concept of leadership, of that kind of a CEO-type leadership. We're in a different realm. All right, let's read four together, and we're done. An elder must have a thorough, diligent, and stable character. He must be concerned for others and must be accommodating. If you have these five elements in your character, you will definitely manage a church well. I think this is good, right? It's 10:30, correct? How about we have a little prayer? You just pray a little bit where you are, and then we can stop here.